Hello, family, and welcome back to another episode of Becoming P31. We talk about all the things, becoming the woman that God is calling us to be. Baby, it's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it. And today's episode is going to tackle exactly that. Let's get into it. Okay, love you. Bye. Hello, 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 and welcome back to Becoming P31 with your host, Jazzy Nicole. Good evening, y'all. Good morning. Whatever time you're listening to this, I hope that you are doing phenomenal. If you are new to listening to this podcast, I'm Jazzy Nicole, and I'm the host of Becoming P31. And I want to talk to you guys about something that we may not always hear in church, and it's a topic that I'm excited to get into it with. I'm excited to talk to you about it. But first, I got to check on you. So how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? What went right this week and what could have used some improvement for you? For me, thank God I'm out of bed today. Let me tell you that. Y'all, I've been down. My oldest came home with a fever of 102 last week. And from there, it's kind of been downhill. Come to find out, myself and my two daughters have had the flu. And so, you know, over the week and the weekend, we've kind of just been in the bed. And finally, yesterday, I was able to get out of the bed and actually clean my house. Goodness gracious. You don't realize how quick your house gets trifling, dusty, and just nasty from just being sick. And so finally got out the bed. We got the house clean. Today is the first day kind of back in action. And still have this lingering cough, which apparently I hear that there's a flu, a second variation of the flu going around. We had influenza A. There's a second variation of COVID going around, y'all. And there's this mystery cough that's going around everywhere where you get tested for the flu, you get tested for COVID, you get tested for a cold, all of it comes back, or strep, and all of it comes back negative. But there's this cough that's like lingering. And people have been talking about this cough that just will not go away, that they may have had for like 4 or 5 weeks. And so, y'all, the cough is no joke. I'm gonna tell you that now. It's been terrible. But luckily today is a better day. Amen. We're out of the bed. The body aches are not here. And I'm able to talk to you guys, and I've been looking forward to talking to you and looking forward to tapping back in and checking in with you. And you know, I post these episodes every week, so I'm glad I wasn't able to skip a beat, period. Here we are, another Tuesday, another beautiful day that God has given us. And I want to drop some things that I've been kind of thinking about on you. And I want to see if it's something that has been resonating with you as well. So welcome in, babies. Welcome in, sisters. Welcome in, my family. I'm so excited to talk to you about this topic today. It's about healing and how healing is not linear and how trusting God even through what we perceive as setbacks. And I can't wait to get into that with you. Now, before we get into the scriptures and the word and the conversation, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for the opportunity for fellowship. God, we thank you for your word, your resource, your owner's manual, Heavenly Father, for what you left behind for us so we can navigate this world, God. God, we are so grateful for what you have allowed us to experience, for the doors that you have closed, for the ones that you've opened. God, thank you for the trials and the tribulations, because in us it developed endurance and perseverance. And in us we have become stronger, not in ourselves, but in you. And God, as we continue this conversation, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you are exalted, that your word penetrates our heart, our mind, and our spirits, and that we can go forth understanding that you are the author and the finisher, that you have a plan for each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, that you are gracious, merciful, loving, and the one who has designed a story specifically for us. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's talk about it, yo. Let's talk about it. So we're going to be talking about something that, again, a lot of us may or may not hear discussed enough, to be honest, in church. And it's about healing, but specifically how healing isn't this linear one-time fix, and that you can love God, you can pray, you can forgive, But still, you can have days where that pain resurfaces. And sometimes that pain may be from childhood. Sometimes it may be from that man who was dusty, right? Because be honest, we all dated a dusty man who impacted us. But it doesn't mean that you failed just because it resurfaces. And it doesn't mean that you are going backwards. Doesn't mean that. Healing has ups and downs, and that's the hard part, but that's also the good part. It has ups, but it also has downs. And the good news is, and that we're going to talk about this in our conversation, is that setbacks, they don't cancel our progress at all. And that we serve a God that is, he is present in every stage of our healing, thankfully, right? So let's talk about it. I want to kind of go over a couple of verses with you, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about the verses, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into some of the talking points. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season." Psalm 34, 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, though outwardly we are wasting away. Let me tell you a truth that I think I learned the more I got closer to God. And this is the truth. The thing that I learned more that I got closer to God is that, you know, we always used to hear, I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say me. I always used to hear growing up how beautiful it was to be a believer. And I always heard about this peace that surpasses all understanding. And I think that when I fully became a Christian or made the decision in my adulthood to become a Christian, part of me expected this miracle ride of beautifulness. Like, okay, so you become a Christian, so that means you're going to walk outside and every day is going to be peaches, rainbows, flowers, and ice cream cones. Every day there's going to be some Dippin' Dots on the corner and some fried chicken across the street. You know what I'm saying? Every day, your hair is going to look good. Your eyebrows are going to be showing. Your edges are going to grow back tomorrow. And your waist is not even going to be there. Right? I think I expected this epiphany moment where my whole life would just be better because I chose Christ. And hard truth, it ain't like that. There's some great days. But there are some days that are low. And the truth of the matter is the Bible doesn't promise us instant healing. The Bible doesn't promise us that every day is going to be amazing. But it does tell us and show us that God often heals us through a process and it's no shortcuts in sight. Like, I don't know about you, but I love a good shortcut. But shortcuts don't always allow for the healing. They don't always allow for healing. And that's the hard truth. And the good part is that even though we go through seasons of pain, it doesn't mean that God is not there. We serve a God who is in the middle of it with us. Because pain is inevitable. Hurt is inevitable. Trials are inevitable. But we do serve a God who sits in the boat with us. And we're not called to do it by ourselves. We're not. And another truth. I feel like I'm going to be dropping a lot of truths today. So I don't know. We'll see in a second. But another truth of it is that healing actually has a look. Like healing has a look to it. And it may not be what we think. Because wouldn't it be nice if you only had to heal from something one time and then you didn't never have to revisit it? Like you only have to say, okay, I'm good this once. I dealt with it in therapy. I dealt with it in prayer. I dealt with my trauma and now I don't have to reface it ever again. Like, wouldn't that be nice? I think I talk to y'all a lot from time to time about what healing for me has looked like and times that it's resurfaced for me, even things that I dealt with as a kid. But let's talk about what healing really looks like for real, for real. Let's put a mirror to that thing. You know what I'm saying? Healing in real life is like you feel good one day And then you're triggered the next. And I hate the word triggered. I do, but it's the best way to describe it. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know another word to use it. It's like you're triggered. One day I feel good. One day I'm floating. One day I'm riding on a high. And the very next day I'm triggered by something that sparks something inside of me that is all too familiar. It's like, for instance, just to give you an example that I've talked to you guys about it before, but I'll bring it up again. It's like when I was growing up, my mom had two kids by the same man, my father. She has four total, but me and my sister share the same dad. That was a weird way to word it, but I'm gonna tell you this. Me and my sister have the same father. And I'm the baby of the family. And my father, when I was 2 years old, hold on, let me say this. My mother and my father were together for 14 years. 14 years is how long they were together. When I was born, they decided to get married, and they were married for 2 weeks, and then they divorced after 2 weeks of marriage. When I was, I believe, 2 years old, my dad decided that he was going to move from our small town at Evansville, Indiana, and he was going to move away. I know at a point in time, my father, he was loving music, and I know at one point in time, he moved to California. At one point, he decided he was going to settle in Louisville, Kentucky. And so my dad lived in Louisville. And so when he would come visit myself and my sister, he would travel from Louisville to Evansville to come see us. And it was a 90-minute drive that he would come see us. But it wasn't often. My dad would usually come see us around Christmas time. And he would come around Christmas time with this big black trash bag full of gifts. It was always a black trash bag full of gifts, low-key hood Santa. You know what I'm saying? If you can imagine hood Santa, that's how I envision my daddy. You know what I mean? We would talk to him on the phone from time to time, but he would always come around Christmas with this trash bag full of gifts. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And every time he would come to visit us, this full trash bag of gifts, we would be so excited, but we would care less too much about the gifts and more about, daddy, how long are you going to stay this time? How long are you going to stay with us this time? Please don't leave so soon. Please stay a couple days. Like, please stay a little more time with us. And I remember being with my sister and, you know, every time it was time for my dad to leave, he would always pack up his trash bag, get all the trash from the toys. And he'd be like, you know what, girls, I'm going to run to the gas station and I'm going to get something and I'll be right back. And we would be like, okay, daddy, we'll see you when you get right back. And that was his way of saying goodbye. And he would not come right back. Matter of fact, he would dip and we wouldn't see him for another year until next Christmas when he had the trash bag full of gifts. And after a while, my sister would be angry at him. And I would still be like, daddy, well, I'll see you when you get back. But my sister would be so mad and I wouldn't understand it. And then it got to a point where I was like, well, daddy, you don't have to lie anymore. We'll see you next year. Like, you ain't got to lie. I'll see you next time you come back with the trash bags full of gifts. And as a child, that looked like forgiveness to me. As a child, that was forgiveness. As I grew older and had my own children, that still looked like forgiveness to me. That looked like I forgave my dad who did not know how to say goodbye. But in relationships, what that turned into was abandonment. In relationships, that was abandonment. So when a guy that I loved left, I felt abandoned and I felt angry and I felt sad and I felt not enough. And I felt like, what else could I have done to keep them here? Right. And so I had to learn that as a child, I didn't forgive him. As an adult in a relationship that coincidentally was also 14 years, I didn't forgive him. And I'm still learning how to forgive him. And there are still times in my adulthood when that abandonment wound is still opened and I'm triggered. I hate that word, but it works. It's still in my adulthood. I'm triggered. And one moment I'm okay. The next minute I feel left and I feel abandoned. And that in that very instant, I'm back to being that little girl in her living room in Evansville, Indiana, with a trash bag full of gifts and a man who is her father who's walking out the door promising something he's not going to give. And that sucks. And it hurts to know that that is something that I'm still going to have to figure out how to heal from, but it's the truth. And the truth of it is that even though I'm still that little girl sometimes in the living room in Evansville, Indiana, with the trash bag still full of gifts, that I serve a God who still loves me, even though I'm still grieving something that I desired as a child, that I desire as an adult. Forgiving somebody, but still being hurt. I talk to my dad. I love my dad to this day. I won't even allow him to hold on to that. I forgive you, Father. I still forgive you, but there's still this feeling, this remnant of hurt that I still hold on to. And I hate that. And that's the truth. The truth is, I hate that I have to hold. I hate, not that I have to, I hate that it's hard to let it go. There's times when we can even still trust God, but still ask, why did I have to experience that? Why, God, was that my story? Why, God, does that have to be a part of my cross? Why does that have to be something that I still deal with every day? Trusting God, still grieving. Trusting God, still asking why, but trusting God. And what I'm learning is this, is that healing is learning how to carry the pain differently and not pretending that it never existed, because it's still there. Not sweeping it under the rug, because it's still there. And I'm learning it, and I'm learning to be okay with admitting, this is my truth. This is my story. This is a part of me. Right? What's yours? What is yours? What is that thing that happened that you still have to carry, but you hold it differently? And even though you're holding it, you're still trusting the healing God. What is that thing for you? Let's talk about trusting God even in the setback. Because sometimes it's a setback. When I crash out because my abandonment wound seems to be reopened, right? It feels like a setback. How do you trust God even in the middle of that? I think that setbacks are an invitation. I don't think that they're a punishment. And I'm starting to view them as more beautiful than anything, because I'm recognizing them. When before, I would just react. I would snap. I would go off. I was one of those people who would like throw stuff. I was a thrower. Hammer to the car type girl. You know? And I didn't like getting out of character. But now I'm grateful that instead of reacting immediately, I'm acknowledging more, because I'm knowing that setbacks are an invitation and it's not a punishment. And that thankfully God doesn't rush our recovery. Just because what happened to you when you were 6 doesn't mean that you're fully healed from it at 38. I'm learning that God is not going to rush my recovery, just like he doesn't rush my purpose, just like he doesn't rush my deliverance. He doesn't rush my recovery. He says, take your time. Walk with me. And when it comes up again, I'm still here. God is a God who will sit in the middle of it with you. He will sit in the middle of that fiery furnace with you. And you know what's crazy is, like, I'm learning this too. This is why I'm learning it. This big, big, big age, girl. Rest is a part of healing, and it ain't lazy. Sometimes I got to rest in it. Sometimes I need a moment to rest in it. And that doesn't mean I'm being lazy. It means I'm healing. Because I don't have to be strong all the time. You don't have to be strong all the time. You don't have to rush to get through that feeling. You don't have to rush to go on to the next thing. You ain't got to rush to throw that under the table so that way you can manage yourself through the day. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be strong all the time. You don't. You're not required to, because we rely on our Heavenly Father, who is allowing us to lean on him. If we had to be strong, we wouldn't need nobody to lean on. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, y'all, he was faithful. He was powerful, but he was exhausted. He was tired. Jeremiah, tired. the weeping prophet. I know he was over crying, exhausted, but God still fed him. God still gave him rest. God still spoke gently, because you don't have to be strong all the time. So in your setbacks, you feel weak, but the promise is you don't have to be strong. Setbacks make you feel weak, but the truth of it is you don't have to be strong. When you experience a setback in a moment where you are triggered, it is an opportunity to sit at God's feet and remind yourself, I don't have to have the strength to get through this. I just need to know who the God that I serve is in it. And I see you, and I need you, and I love you, and I thank you, and I worship you even through this. I have some questions to ask you if you are somebody who is struggling with the feeling of being set back in healing. I want to ask you a couple questions, and here are some questions I'm going to ask you out loud. And you can journal this, you can cry this, you can pray this, whatever. I'm going to ask you this out loud. Number one is, where have I been hard on myself during my own healing? Where have I been hard on myself during my own healing? Where have I been too hard on myself? Expecting myself to get up, dust yourself off, and go. Expecting yourself to go to the next assignment, go to the next job, handle the next thing, pick up the next load. Where have you been too hard on yourself? Number two, am I expecting myself to be over it too quickly? Yeah, it happened when you were 5, but you're feeling it now. Are you expecting yourself at this age to get over it too quickly? And why do you think you need to rush that? Now, let me ask you this third question, is what would it look like to let God set the pace of your healing instead of you? What would it look like to just let God set the pace of your healing, the one who made you? What if he set the pace of your healing instead of you? And if you need to pause for a moment in silence, to just allow yourself to feel the weight of those questions and understand that you serve a God who is walking through it with you. Just imagine allowing yourself the grace to answer those questions. Just imagine. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for being so patient with us. God, we thank you for not rushing our healing or shaming our process. God, help us trust you. Even when it feels like we're taking 2 steps forward and 17 back, God, Heavenly Father, walk with us through this process. Remind us that you are still working, even in the setbacks. Remind us that you still have your hand on us, even in the setbacks. God, remind us that setbacks are an opportunity for us to sit at your feet. Setbacks are an opportunity for us to remind ourselves of all the things that you brought us through. That we were never meant to face this alone, and that we were never by ourselves. Remind us that you've never left and you never will. God, for the person who is experiencing a time when they are trying to heal, but their past keeps revisiting them, God, remind us to seek you even through this. Remind us that you are still the author, you are still the finisher, that you are still the one who has control over the situation. God, we're grateful for you. We're thankful for you. We will worship you through it. God, and we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for healing us in your holy work. Thank you for reminding us that progress is not always visible, but you are still writing our story. Thank you for reminding us that even though it is heavy, we were never meant to carry it alone. God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you are somebody who is experiencing a season where you are healing, but it keeps coming back up, and it feels suffocating, and it feels overwhelming, and you're starting to get mad at yourself because you're like, I thought I was over this. Let me reassure you that you do have the permission to heal slowly, that you do serve a God who is healing with you. You're not in this by yourself. He is walking you through every season. And your next time that you experience a setback, look at it as an opportunity to sit down at his feet. Thank him for how far you've come. Be grateful for the fact that you've identified this area. Give yourself the grace to process it and the space to do just that. Your story is not over. It's still being written, sis. It is not over. It is still being written. Listen, I love you. And unfortunately, I can't talk too long today because my throat hurts. But I do love you. And I pray that you have the best day. And I'll talk to you guys on the next episode of Becoming P31. I love you. Goodbye.